Hi everyone, I'm Dr. Naomi Potter, this is Peanut. Since starting this podcast, we've seen a wonderful community form as more people share their experiences with menopause. There is also a lot of misinformation nowadays, and it's so easy to get lost on the internet. So today, Peanut and I will break down the menopause myths that we see all the time.
Menopause doesn't start until about 50.
Back in the day, it was thought that menopause started at 50 or 51, and it was almost like the perimenopause didn't exist, when in fact we know that symptoms start for years before your periods finish. So it's a myth that menopause starts at 50. It can start later, so some women don't experience symptoms until their mid-50s, but it can also definitely start much earlier. And we have cases of girls in their teens experiencing menopause. So age should not prevent you from considering it as a diagnosis.
You can only be on HRT for 5 years.
So another common HRT myth is that you can only be on it for 5 years, and so you should then wait until you're really, really symptomatic, because the clock starts when you start it and then you have to come off it 5 years later. And that's just not true. If you are very symptomatic, you can go on HRT and you can stay on it for longer than 5 years if you would like. And if you're young, so if you're under the age of 45, and especially if you're under the age of 40, it's really important that you go on HRT, and then you should be on it at least until the age of average natural menopause, which is 51. We are no longer saying that you can only be on it for 5 years. That is a number that's pulled out of thin air, and it doesn't. We just don't stick to that anymore. But what you do is every year you have a consultation with your doctor, and you look at the risks and the benefits of staying on HRT, and the risks and the benefits of coming off HRT for you, and that's how you can make a decision.
You should just put up with menopause symptoms.
We hear from a lot of patients, and I get quite a lot of DMs from people via Instagram who tell me that they've been to their doctor, or they've spoken to their friends, or even spoken to relatives who have told them that they must just put up with symptoms, grin and bear it, push on through. It's all part of being a woman. Keep yourself busy and it will all settle down in the long run. And that's just simply not true. If you would like help with your symptoms, then you should seek it and you should find it. And if you're not finding it from one particular source or one particular doctor, then please ask elsewhere, because there is help available and no one should have to put up with debilitating symptoms.
Every woman should be on HRT.
We've been hearing more and more from women who feel the pressure to go on HRT even when they are not symptomatic, and there's a feeling of like missing out, of FOMO. And I just wanted to reassure you that there is no obligation to go onto HRT. Every woman is different and every woman's symptoms will be different. Some women might not have symptoms at all, but also their lifestyle, their perception of risk and benefit, and all of these things will vary. And it's just important to understand that with using HRT and with menopause in general, there is no one size fits all. It's just about finding what is right for you. And what's right for you this year might be different to what's right for you next year. It's all fluid, and things can change. But please don't feel any pressure to go onto HRT if you don't want to.
You are not menopausal if you have no symptoms.
You can be asymptomatic, so that means not experience any symptoms even when you are in perimenopause and menopause. And one myth is that you can't possibly be menopausal if you don't have symptoms. The definition of being postmenopausal is going for 12 months without a period. So if you've gone for 12 months, 12 consecutive months with no period, but no other symptoms, then you are still menopausal and lucky.
You need a blood test to diagnose menopause.
Blood tests in menopause can be confusing, so you can do a blood test that will confirm if you are postmenopausal and if you have two results that are both high 6 weeks apart. We don't often use it because it's not often like that relevant, because it's symptoms that are relevant and we treat symptoms. But if you have the blood test that I'm referring to is called FSH, which is follicle stimulating hormone. And essentially it's the hormone that your brain pumps out to get your ovaries working. And so if your ovaries are not responding, then your brain pumps a bit harder. And that's why that hormone level goes up. So you can do an FSH, although we typically don't do them very often, because when you've got a patient in front of you that's symptomatic and wants help, then, you know, there's almost like not much point in doing it. The other bloods that we look at sometimes are estrogen or estradiol and testosterone and sex hormone binding globulin. Estradiol levels, if you're menopausal, then they will be low, but if you're perimenopausal, then they can be all over the place. So they are not a reliable tool for making that diagnosis. And sometimes we look at testosterone if a woman is on HRT and is still complaining of particular symptoms, particularly low libido, then we might look at their testosterone and think about testosterone replacement as well. But I suppose in summary, bloods are sometimes useful, but we don't often use them to make a diagnosis. And if you have a younger woman where you are recommended to take bloods, it's normally to exclude other causes. And we often use a whole array of different bloods to make sure that the symptoms that woman is experiencing is not other things like a thyroid problem or low vitamin D or anemia or liver problems, for example. So there's a whole host of bloods that we might do to exclude other causes. But for making a diagnosis, it's normally a clinical diagnosis based on symptoms.
HRT causes cancer.
HRT and breast cancer particularly was a big headline about 20 years ago. When there were a couple of big studies that suggested that there was a strong link between breast cancer and HRT. What we have subsequently found out is that the data that was used in those trials was flawed. And basically what that means is that the people that they used in those studies were not representative of the people that we would typically start on HRT nowadays. We know that a big risk factor for breast cancer is obesity, and we know that in those trials, a very high proportion of those women used were obese. We also know that age is a risk factor for breast cancer. As every year goes by, there is an increased risk of breast cancer. And we know that in those trials, the women that were in it were much older than your average perimenopausal, menopausal woman. We don't think that estrogen on its own causes cancer. But what can happen is that if you have a breast tumour that's there, if it has receptors on those cells, then if you give oestrogen as part of HRT, it can make the tumour grow much faster than it would do normally, and so it presents itself earlier. So it's not the oestrogen that's causing the cancer in the first place, but oestrogen can make that tumour show itself. And that's an important distinction. If you've got a breast tumour, that tumour hasn't just arisen from something that you've done in the last year or two. It's come about from everything that's happened throughout your life, plus your genetics, and also just sometimes we don't know the reason why it's come about. So if you're using HRT, the increased risk is small, and it's smaller than if you drink two glasses of wine a day, or much smaller than if you are overweight. HRT protects against things like osteoporosis and heart disease, both of which cause death in women. So it's just about understanding that it's not about it's not the risk of one thing, it's how you look at HRT, how it interacts with lifestyle, what your own perceived risks and benefits are, and making a decision about the whole picture, not just about one small part of it.
You cannot use HRT if you have a family history of cancer.
So another myth about using HRT is if you have a family history of breast cancer. And the thing about family histories of breast cancer is they vary massively. So some women will have, say, a history of a grandmother who was diagnosed with breast cancer at 80, and other women have family histories whereby they've had a mother diagnosed under 50 and sisters and aunts where there's much more breast cancer and also often ovarian cancer in the family. And they're two very different risk groups. So if you have somebody like, somebody who was over the age of 60 or over the age of 70 diagnosed with breast cancer, and it's just a single person, it's unlikely to affect your baseline risk at all. If you have a lot of family members who are diagnosed young with breast and ovarian cancer, then your baseline risk of breast cancer is likely to be higher. What we understand is that by using HRT on top of that increased baseline risk, it's unlikely to increase your risk further. But if you are at a higher risk of cancer, then you can ask to be referred to a special genetics clinic, and they will counsel you as to what you can do, both preventatively or in terms of what choices or guide you with your choices with HRT. So I suppose essentially, if you have a single older person diagnosed with breast cancer, it's unlikely to affect your risk, and you shouldn't let that put you off if you want to use HRT. And if you have a strong family history of breast cancer or ovarian cancer, then you should ask for a genetic referral. So there's a few conditions that I get messaged about quite frequently where patients have been told by doctors, friends, colleagues that they would not be eligible for HRT because of that. And the ones that really spring to mind are things like high blood pressure and being overweight. When modern HRT, transdermal HRT, so HRT through the skin, can actually help with those conditions, and it should not be a reason to delay starting HRT if that's what you want. And other things like blood clots or family history of breast cancer, it is often absolutely fine to use HRT in those instances. And there are a few rarer conditions where I think what happens is doctors almost default to what they think is the safe option. Like, doctors are not mean people; they want to do the best by their patients, and they just go for an answer that they think is safest. But way more far often than not, women can actually take HRT when they've been told that they can't. And the exceptions would be breast cancer, particularly active breast cancer and hormone receptor positive breast cancer, endometrial cancer, so cancer of the lining of the womb, will be the two biggies, and certain types of ovarian cancer. But most of the time, in most other cases, it's okay. And you should, if you've been in any doubt, speak to a specialist. If you're enjoying this conversation so far, please do press the follow button on whatever platform you're listening on. Please do share it with a friend who you think would benefit too.
Testosterone is only for men.
So testosterone is a female hormone. Some people say that it's not, but it absolutely is. And it declines throughout a woman's life. So it actually starts declining in your 20s and then carries on declining throughout the decades. But it declines less predictably than, or it doesn't fall off a cliff like your hormones, your estrogen and progesterone do in perimenopause or at menopause. And we don't have as much data on testosterone as we do on estrogen, but certainly some women seem to really notice that decline. Particularly women who've potentially had higher testosterone levels in their life. So, for example, women with PCOS, women who have been very muscular, who've been very sporty, and so they sometimes feel that testosterone decline more than others. Some women don't notice it at all, and others notice it much more.
I cannot get pregnant once I start perimenopause.
We always counsel our patients about the fact that HRT is not a contraceptive, and we do still see women with surprise pregnancies in perimenopause. you can't get pregnant if you are postmenopausal. So if you've gone for 12 months without a period and you are deemed postmenopausal, and it's not from a cause like what we call an iatrogenic cause, like a medically induced cause where you're on a type of medication and that medication stops. But if you've gone through a natural menopause, you know, at the right kind of typical age, then only then would you be considered to not be able to get pregnant. So it is certainly possible to get pregnant in the perimenopause, and it is often, if it happens, it's extremely distressing because it can be a delayed presentation, because if women think that they're perimenopausal, they're not expecting to have a period and they don't, then when they find out they're pregnant, then it can often be later than if you had been having regular cycles. It therefore comes at a time when a woman's just not expecting to add to their family. So we counsel women about the fact that HRT is not a contraceptive, so you can get pregnant using HRT, you can get pregnant in the perimenopause, and it's only when you have gone for 12 months after the age of 50 with no period that you would be considered not at risk of a pregnancy.
Menopause means the death of sex.
Menopause doesn't have to mean the end of your sex life at all. The hormonal changes that come about can make sex more uncomfortable, and they can also just decrease libido in general. But there are things that can be done if you would like your libido back or for sex not to be painful. There's things like topical estrogens that can really make a massive difference to the quality of the like vulvo-vaginal tissues, and using HRT can very much help, as can using testosterone. So there's plenty that can be done, and it is an absolute myth that sex has to stop at menopause.
I will gain weight during menopause.
Weight gain in menopause is multifactorial. So with every year that goes by after the age of 30, 35, we lay down more fat and we lose muscle. So it's a natural part of aging, regardless of whether you're male or female, and regardless of your menopausal status. But on top of that, we know that estrogen particularly affects metabolism, and it affects where you lay fat down, and it can, when it declines, it can shift your metabolism so that it's harder to lose weight and you more readily lay fat down, particularly in areas where you notice it. Menopause per se doesn't necessarily mean that you have to put weight on, although it is a fairly common and distressing symptom. It's a symptom that women like one of the least, because it's visible. But making dietary changes, lifestyle changes, can all have an impact on weight and weight management, and as can HRT. So using HRT can also help with weight management. So it's not an inevitability, but it as we get older, we all do put weight on naturally.
Quality of life goes downhill from menopause.
So menopause does not have to mean that your life is over, or that all the fun bits in life are over, or that you're kind of washed up and on the scrap heap at all. I think I've seen so many women who, once their symptoms are under control, actually feel extremely positive about being postmenopausal. It's often a time that women can focus on themselves. They can really get back into the swing of their careers. Their children are often older and more independent, and they're more comfortable in their own skin, and they know who they are. And there is a lot to look forward to. And it's a shame that being older isn't considered the great privilege that it is, like it is in other cultures. But I think things are changing, and I think there's some amazing advocates for postmenopausal life out there now, and role models, and women are now seeing that there is much more to life than their pre-menopause years. And there's the freedom from contraception, freedom from pregnancy, freedom from small children. So there's a lot to look forward to. Thank you so much for listening. If there are other myths that you would like some clarity on, then please post them in the comments, as I would love to hear them.